Boom! How you doing? How you living? How you being? It's your girl, Nani, and I'm welcoming you to the Power Talk. So welcome to Season 1, Episode 80. Let's go! And I bet you guys are wondering, Nani, who'd you bring into the Power Talk today? And I brought in a very big power player. Her name is Miss Gabby Wall Street. She's the founder of Latino Wall Street, and she truly is a woman in power. She teaches individuals how to get in power of their lives through financial education services, as well as teaching them how to trade and invest their money where they can actually see a profit and win. Not rich, but creating generational wealth. So I'm super, super excited to dive into this conversation today. And I got three things to tell you guys before we move forward. And that's this. One, turn off all your distractions. Turn off your notifications. Turn off all the noise and make sure to completely hone in. Requirement number two, make sure you have a pen and paper handy. During this pandemic, she's giving out tips, value bombs on how to go ahead and get into investing the smart way. So make sure you have a pen, paper handy, pen and, a sheet of white paper, your notes on your iPhone, your notes on your Android, wherever it may be. I don't care if you're writing on the back of a milk carton. I just need you to write down these notes. Requirement number three is once you're done listening to this episode, once you're done writing down your notes, what I want you to do is go ahead and implement something into your life. Implement one of those takeaways and get in power of who you are, because this show is all about helping you get the right resources so you can become resourceful. So I got one last thing to say, and that's this. You ready? I'm ready. Let's go. What it is, how you doing, how you living, how you being. It is your girl, Nani, and I am coming to you live today, back to back. I got my girl, Gabriella Bersopi. Don't get upset if I mess it up. I've been practicing this for like five times already. So she's known as Gabby Wall Street, which that's all you need to know. And she is making a movement in the Latin market when it comes to trading and investing. And I thought, what better guest to bring on right now with all this corona hitting the market than you? So how you doing? How you living? I'm so happy to have you on.
Hi, Nani. Thank you so much for your invitation. Very appropriate for what's going on in the market.
Definitely. And I know that we got connected at your now fiance, congratulations, Tony Disrupt's Disrupt event. And we got together, we spoke a little bit, and I loved her energy and I loved what she was doing, especially finding, you know, a hole in a marketplace for us Latino women and really trying to make a movement with it. So if you can, just tell us a little bit about exactly what you do. I know you're the founder of the Latino Wall Street, which I love. And you're basically giving individuals the tools and resources to learn how to do stocks and to learn how to trade. Tell us a little bit about that. That way we can go forward with the conversations and everyone understands your background.
Yeah, of course. So I basically educate and empower the Latino community, specifically Latino women, to start taking responsibility for their finances. And what I mean by that is that it is so easy and so accepted in society to simply close our eyes and let someone else take care of it. The problem with that is that we're not learning anything at all. Like, most people who do that can't tell you how their money's been invested. And the second problem with that is that then you are paying all sorts of fees and commissions on your profits. So I'm transforming that, because finance, that's what the industry is about, right? It's all about charging you fees and commissions. That's why your financial advisors get richer. And I think the biggest problem is that you're not learning, you're not aware of what's happening with your money. So I created this movement to wake people up, you know, to tell them, look, you need to start learning. And you need to take responsibility for your finances. And that includes learning how to manage your own money. So that's how it all started. I started trading many years ago, 11 years ago, when I was 18. And I've been doing it ever since. I was very lucky to have, I basically lived in Wall Street. I went to NYU and I surrounded myself with Wall Street guys who were literally in their 20s, which is, you know, when you're 18, someone in their 20s is kind of older. But yeah, for me, it was so like crazy. These people are so young, you know, like, how are they making so much money? The age is obviously not a limit. It's about what you know. And there's so many tricks and strategies to to benefit even when the market's going down, especially when it's going down. That's why I created this, because it's time for all of us to benefit from it.
Man, I love it. And I love, 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 love that you're from Peru. I love that you got a full ride to NYU. And I love that you just saw that energy and you wanted to be a part of it, right? A lot of people and a lot of women, I don't want to put a stigma on us women, but that's why women like yourself and women like myself are trying to make a movement in this industry when it comes to entrepreneurship, when it comes to monetizing, and when it comes to just being a force for good, right? You actually went forward with wanting to take a risk, with wanting to elevate yourself. Now, before you became Gabby Wall Street and lived in New York and got that full ride, what was your childhood like? Where was that entrepreneur, you know, feeling from? Was it because of your survival mode? Was it because you had those influencers around you? What was that like that put that pump into you to keep going?
Yeah, I have a very original story. It's not that typical, you know, rags to riches. I was actually born and raised in a privileged household in Lima. So I went to a British international school. My dad was a CEO, very successful business guy. We were part of like a small percentage of people in a third world country who do very well. What happened was that he went out of business by the time I was 11 years old, right? So he lost everything. And what he lacked was financial education. So he did he had all types of businesses which did well, but then the moment, you know, business partner stole from him and some drama happened, then we had nothing. So he hadn't diversified. He hadn't done any of the things you have to do to prepare yourself when recessions come or when something goes wrong, right? So I will never forget being in the living room at 11 years old and hearing about what had happened. And, you know, up until then, I basically was very privileged. I had everything. So I just remember hearing the bad news that now I have nothing, right? Yeah. And that he had to move to the United States to be an immigrant and work in whatever job because he had to start from scratch. And that we were going to lose the house and what was going to happen to my mom. So that trauma, actually, I remember clearly saying, you know what? I'm never going to be in this situation. I'm going to find a way. I don't know how, I don't know when to educate myself financially, because there has to be a way to prepare. So yeah. If this happens to you, you are prepared. Yeah. You know, since that age, I would just kind of have this drive to learn. After 7 years, I got accepted into NYU. I had a scholarship. So I was always very determined to get ahead because of what had happened to my family. And yeah, eventually when I moved to New York, I remember just doing everything I could to not just learn, but also go out of the box, right? Surround myself with people who were extremely successful, but who were young. So that's when the light bulb went on. I was like, I don't have to wait to be older to be, you know, successful and make tons of money. There are people in their early 20s doing it.
Yeah.
It's all about what you're applying.
And I love it because you just mentioned about four bombs in there, right? One, you stated that most business owners, because it's true, not only your dad, but most business owners know how to start a business, but they're not financially educated. You secondly said most business owners, which this is good right now, they don't know how to diversify. When a situation comes, when something new comes, a new recession, a new downfall, a new competitor, they don't know what to do, so they die out, right? And then you also stated about getting yourself in the room with people that you want to be like and that you can learn from, right? So let's touch on that. When it comes to financial education, when it comes to diversifying yourself as a business owner, what are some strategies or what are some tips to getting started with financial education? What are like the basics that you should learn where you could start seeing, okay, this is where you calculate your money. This is where this is going. This is where you can invest.
Yeah, that's extremely important. And I'm actually a perfect example because I went to the best schools, right? Not just in my country, but NYU is top in the US. And so much for that, they didn't even teach me the basics, which blows my mind that it doesn't matter how much money you're paying to these institutions, they're not even giving you finance 101 unless you specifically choose to major. And that's different. That's like more specialized. But I'm talking about a general, you know, common sense. This is what you need to do. We don't have it. And then we wonder why there's so many people struggling financially, because there's a lack of that. And yeah, that's something that, you know, I'm interrupting and disrupting and doing something about it. So the basics for me would be the number one, it's before you start investing, opening a business, you have to have an emergency fund. That's really number one. And how you create that is that you have to make sure every single month, whatever you're making, there's part of it. And we can work with a percentage depending on your situation, depending on your income. There's obviously a lot of factors. It can't be one size fits all. But there has to be a percentage that you never see, literally, that just goes into a fund. And you want to have, ideally, in that fund, money for at least a year, that if an accident happens, something happens to you, a surprise, you know, we've been very surprised recently, right? You want to have that money just sitting there so that you won't run out of money, right? So if I can't work for a year, then I already have that. How do you build that little by little, right? You're not going to put all the money you need in 1 year at once, but in percentages from what you get every month. And after that, once we cover that, then we can start working on what to invest on, depending on, you know, the market, the situation. It's not one size fits all. It's very specific. I have to sit down with someone to go over what makes most sense for them, what they feel most comfortable with. And also has a lot to do with age, right? Like, am I talking to someone who's 20 or 65?
Yeah, I love that, because it's funny now that you mentioned that you should have an emergency fund. You should have some extra money on the side. Most people right now are freaking out because they're like, how am I going to pay my bills? I would say the best thing that I did a year ago was set aside some money. So in case my business failed or in case I ran into obstacles. And I learned that because I failed with my first business and all my money went with it. And I'm like, man, if I'm going to be an entrepreneur, I got to know that I need to have some backup cash because I have a family and I have a lifestyle I want to maintain. So I love that you stated that. Now, when it comes to diversifying, what are some ways that businesses can diversify themselves right now with what's going on in the marketplace, what's going on in our nation, and just what's going on in general to come?
Yeah. So when you think of the stock market, people just think of shares. It's really funny because I guess that's what it's known for. Oh, I'm going to buy a share of Apple, of Disney, which is great. Those are star companies. We all know that they're all struggling. The whole world is struggling right now. We get that. But that's not all you can do in the market. In the market, you can also learn about options. Options are strategies where you can bet that the market's going to go down. And the more it goes down, the more money you make. So that's really, really important to know, that if you're going to have shares, you can also diversify having options so that you benefit with the shares. If they go up, your money appreciates. But if you do specific strategies with options, there's different ones, right? But there's specific ones where you benefit the more the market goes down. So you actually want it to go to keep going down, because the more it goes down, the more money you make. So that way you're benefiting from both angles. If it goes up, you have the shares. If it goes down, you have the options. And also you can invest in other things like gold and silver. You know, it's not just shares. There's a lot more to it.
Now, I was watching an interview with you on La La Land. Good morning, La La Land. And you stated that not only can you make money going up, you can make money going down. And there's some strategies that you can implement that most people don't take advantage of. What strategy is that? And how can people start utilizing that? Someone that's beginning into stocks. I know that there's a difference between a trader and an investor, and we could go on to that once you answer that. But how can someone start making some money on a short sale, or how can someone make some money also going down?
Yeah, so how you make money going down is you have to buy a put. That's just the name of the strategy, okay? And how I like to explain it, because I'm so used to teaching people who start from scratch, and quite frankly, most people start from scratch, because even with the best education, right? Like, I don't care where you went to school, they're not teaching these things. They're not teaching us how to buy puts unless you're specialized or you take a specific course about it. But how you get to it is you basically have to, you know, learn the steps to apply what you're learning. But the main thing I like to tell people when they come to me and they don't understand, or the whole thing just seems so foreign to them, I just tell them, look, this is how I'm going to explain a put. You're basically buying an insurance, let's say health insurance. It's my favorite example because most people have it. So how does that work? You pay every month to a health insurance company in case you get sick. What happens if I go the whole year and I didn't get sick? I guess you can make an argument I lost money, or you can get an argument that thank God I'm covered, because if something happens to me, let's say an accident or anything, then I'm going to save a lot of money, right? So buying a put is the same thing. You basically have to pay, and it's like buying an insurance for a stock or for the whole market in general, or for an index, which would be a group of stocks. And how that works is that if something happens to the stock, if it goes down, to the index, which is a group of stocks, or to the market, then you benefit. Now, what happens if you buy puts and nothing happens? I love to explain in this metaphor, it's just like you paid insurance the whole year, health insurance, and you didn't get sick. I wouldn't call that losing money. I would call that buying your peace of mind.
I love that. So how can someone get started in the stock market? How can someone begin trading? How can someone begin investing? And before you answer that, what's the difference between a trader and an investor?
Yeah, so basically an investor is someone who's focused more on the long term. So for example, right now, perfect example, Disney World is struggling so much. Their CEO just stepped down. They're closing the parks. It's getting extremely negatively impacted, like everyone else, but them specifically, they have just so much going on. Doesn't mean it's a bad company. So if you're an investor, you're very focused on the future. And you know, of course, they're struggling now. Of course, their stock is down. But if you're an investor and you're focused on the future and investing for the next 10, 20, 30 years, you might want to invest in something like Disney World, because you know eventually when this whole mess is over, it's going to go back up because it's a good, yeah, solid company, right? Yeah. A trader would be someone who's more short term, who's like, you know what? I need money today. So I'm going to do day trading. So I have to be paying attention to the little moves so I can get in and out. Or there's also traders that are weekly traders. So they get in Monday, they get out Thursday. That's called swing trading. So not days, the same day, swing. It's from one day or multiple days. There's also monthly options you can do if you want to earn income every month. There are specific strategies that allow you to earn income on a monthly basis, but require more of an investment. They ask you for 100 shares for a specific strategy. But there are different things you can do. I would just, to make it easy, a trader is just someone who's more focused short term, and an investor is someone who's more focused long term.
Awesome. And how can someone get started in the stock market or in trading in general?
Yeah, I always tell people, look, financial education is the best investment you will ever make. And I know that from, personal experience, right? I don't care how successful you are in your business. I don't care what schools you went to, right? I've seen it all. And I speak to people nowadays who are in their 60s, and they don't have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. When I'm talking about puts and calls and all these different strategies, like they really never learned, or they just close their eyes and give it to someone. And they nobody knows. I've never met someone who tells me, yeah, someone else is managing my money and I'm paying this in commission and this in fees. People have no idea what their money is doing. Or yeah, how much you're paying someone. It blows my mind away. And this is the system, right? So what we can do, what we have to do, what we must do is start learning. So get financial education as soon as possible, literally. Like, time is playing against you if you're not in it right now. Because yeah, right now we're in such like a dip in the market that there's so many good opportunities to buy that are going to pay off, especially if you're focused in your future. Right now, it's a little bit complicated when it comes to trading. You can still make a lot of money, but that you need to know more, right?
Yeah.
You need to learn
like
how
that higher level. It's like that higher level.
Right. But to buy shares, right? Like that's, yeah, you don't need like a whole like curriculum for that. You can just buy shares. You want to do options, then that's a little bit more advanced and you can learn that too. But the bottom line here is like, start learning as soon as possible, because every day that goes by, you're missing opportunities to make money and benefit from the crisis.
So what's your opinion right now with the market, how it's going down, everything you're seeing, the patterns you're seeing? What do you think's to come with this? And where would you suggest people putting their money at?
Yeah, so that question, you know, it's a very good question, but it's very specific, because it's not one size fits all. It really depends on what your age is, on your situation, how much funds are we talking about. It's not going to be the same you know, suggestions for everyone. And again, I consider myself more of a guide. So I'll just like say what I would do if I was in your case. I've never told people what to do. Oh, do this, do that. No, I share what I do, what I invest in, and I give people suggestions. Like if I was you, I would do this. But the whole point is for everyone to be empowered to make their own decisions. You know, you can get educated, you can learn from me, from my team, from other people. But at the end of the day, I want people to know what they're doing, to learn, and for them to be empowered to make their own decisions.
Okay. And I have someone that has a question right here in the Facebook Live. His name's Paul Jackson. He said, what are your thoughts on apps like Robinhood? Are they good to buy stocks with? I bought Berkshire just to access the annual meetings with the apps. The market's on sale, and then question mark.
Yeah, so I personally don't recommend Robinhood, or if you are brand new, to start using an app, just because there's so many glitches and so many things that go wrong when you're using an app. First of all, you can't see the whole picture. And as humans, we're full of blind spots. So even on a screen, right? Or even if I have a big picture, I can still miss something. Just imagine in a phone, if you only have an app and you're learning, there's just so many things you can miss. I've personally made a lot of mistakes when I've been trading on my phone just because I didn't see something. I didn't catch something. I got confused. And I prefer to be on a screen on a computer so it's bigger and more clear, especially if you're dealing with tables and options and charts and things.
Now, you just stated something that I never thought of, because like you said, I'm not a trader. I'm not in the stock market. I want to get in it, but I'm just timid, right? Like, you don't know where you're getting your information from. And then it's also like, do I have the time for it? And I think that the reason I think that is because I understand your point. You got to get financially educated before you just start throwing your money into something, right? So with what you just said on an app, are you suggesting that in the beginning, you should have it on a laptop, on a desktop where you could frequently see it, you see what's going on? So like, walk me through that. If I was a beginner, what are some of the things that you would say, hey, you should do this. This is the book you should read. This is who you should start watching, meaning go ahead and follow Gabby Wall Street. So if you are a beginner, you're a Latin woman, Latin man, go ahead and get a part of the movement. But what are some of the recommendations to get that started? Because I know right now with what we're going through, everyone's looking at the market, even people that don't know about the market. I'm looking at the market because I hear my brothers and I hear my friends and I'm like, man, I don't know. Should I do it? Should I not? So what are those beginner steps?
Yeah, so the beginner steps are definitely you have to open a trading account. You can do it in an app, like whether you can or not. Of course you can, but I don't recommend that. I recommend opening a regular trading platform that you can access through your laptop, right? So not an app. So examples of that are TD Ameritrade, Interactive Brokers. Those are the two that we do all of our tutorials with and that we work with. It's more simple when, you know, we have a lot of members, so it's more simple if we're all working the same platform so that tutorials everyone can follow. If everyone was on a different platform, you're free to choose whatever trading account platform you want to do, but then it becomes a little bit more complicated to go over it if you're a beginner. So that would be step number one, right? You open a trading account, and in regards to, oh, I don't have time, I have a lot going on, then number one thing, right, like what I said, is that to buy shares, you don't need a lot of time. You just need to know the basics. You need to learn about the indexes, the Dow 30, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, what the differences are between them, and to know that the stocks with a dividend, that offer a dividend, are always going to be more safe than the ones that don't offer dividends. Dividends are basically payments they give you every 3 months for holding shares. Because people who invest billions of dollars, right, like the corporations, college endowments, they're not going to drop a stock so easy if the stock is giving them money consistently. They have a lot of shares, not just 100 or 200. They're trading with billions of dollars. So the stocks that are the least affected by a crisis, or the ones, let's say, that are more safe, are the ones who have dividends, because people won't drop them so easily. And you can always stick to the ones in the index, or you can simply purchase an index that you're not buying a single company, you are buying, let's say, the top 30 companies in the stock market. And if one does bad, you don't have to worry about that. They're going to replace it and put one that does well, so that it's almost like the top 10, you know, the billboards of the top 10 songs. You don't have to worry about it. If you buy that, like that list, then they'll do the updates. So you don't need the time for this. I believe you should be educated to know the differences, like the basics. For that, you know, you can do something 101. For example, we do a basic courses 101 that just explains with literally apples, you know, I make it very fun, yeah. Very simple. So people don't get intimidated. But if you have some extra time, some people have a lot of extra time nowadays, they can start learning trading, that it's literally strategies that can give you money the same day.
Yep. And you know what, guys, I highly recommend it. Like right now is the time when we're all sitting in our houses, when we're working from home, when we're being more online to take advantage of learning more, observing a new skill, learning how to perfect a skill and learning to get into something that's going to be beneficial for you. I definitely believe that investing is one of the best things that you can do. But just like Gabby is saying, you got to be educated with it. You can't just dive in. So what are three not to do's when you are beginning to get into this market? What are some things that you steer away from?
Yeah, that's extremely important. The number one, I think the most common mistake is to get too excited and go all in, right? What am I referring to when I say all in? It's literally put all of your money, all of your savings, everything you have, all the eggs in one basket. And you'll be surprised how many people still do that, because they're like, well, but I'm putting it in the top companies, or it's like, I don't care. Like, you always have to make sure you have that emergency fund we're talking about. After the emergency fund, then of course we can talk about investments. You can start with very little. You can literally buy one share, so you don't have to go all in. There's no rule that says you have to buy minimum 100 shares, unless you're doing options, right? There's a specific strategy that requires you to receive money. You have to purchase 100 shares, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about simply investing in companies. You can start with very, very small amounts of money, because you can literally buy one share.
Yeah.
So don't go all in. That'll be number one. Number two would be, don't copy other people, right? I love when people tell me like, oh, so-and-so said this, so I'm going to do this. So-and-so said that. But I'm like, you didn't sit down with them. They didn't go over your specific situation. Like, they can be, you know, you have no idea what their situation is. And that investment may be the best investment for them, but maybe not for you. So just knowing that what's the best for me might not be the best for you, and that this is all personalized, it's extremely important. And the third one, I'm going to say, if you are extremely emotional, extremely negative, I don't think it's a good idea, because the market is ups and downs, and you have to be very centered, and you kind of have to be very calm to not let it affect you. I've seen my account in the last week go 100,000 down, and I didn't even blink, because I'm in the industry. I've been in this industry for over 10 years, and it doesn't affect me. And I also have other accounts and other strategies that are green and benefiting. So if I see one specific account, it went down 100,000, it doesn't affect me. But remember, I've always been focused on having that emergency fund, so I'm definitely not trading with money I need.
Man, I love those tips, because they're so practical. And what I'm getting from you right here is full honesty. You know, it doesn't sound like a salesman, doesn't sound like just a trader. It sounds like someone that genuinely cares and wants to get you the insight. And if anyone that's watching this right now is thinking about investing, thinking about trading, make sure that one, you contact Gabby. And then secondly, you listen to these tips. And if you fail at listening to the tips, make sure you contact Gabby, right? So I love it. It's don't go all in, all right? Make sure that you don't put all your chips in one basket. Make sure that you're resilient. And I think that being resilient, that should be with everything right now. I think even business owners that have to close down, I think businesses that are losing some business. Like for me, for instance, I have an online business. And I'm not too worried because it's online. But what now I'm worried about is the customers that don't have the funds, right? My monthly subscription. So I think being resilient is super, super important. And what was the second one?
Yeah, don't copy what other people are doing, so you will go crazy.
Yeah, and I think that's important too, because I think most people see a shiny object and they're like, wow, that's shiny, I want to do it. Wait, why didn't it work for me? This sucks, I'm done with. And that's practical advice. So I really, really appreciate that. Now, I want to kind of dive into a little bit about your world, who you are, and how your entrepreneur journey has been, right? So you stated that this week you just saw $100,000 loss in your account. That's a big loss, right? Now, what has been one of your biggest losses in this industry, and how have you overcome that hurdle?
So actually, I wanted to emphasize something, because you make a good point. When your account is down, let's say in this case, 100,000, it doesn't mean you lost 100,000. It means the value went down. Meaning if in that moment I cashed out, I literally lose $100,000. But if I wait, because this specific account is for long-term, then eventually, right, it's going to go back up. How do we know that? We study history. We've been through terrorist attacks. We've been through depressions. And look at where we are or where we were last month. So it always recovers. The question is when. And nobody knows when. That's what everyone wants to know. So I did not cash out with that dip. It's still there. So even if it's down, it doesn't mean I lost it. It just means it's kind of like your house. You know, like, buy $1 million house, there's a recession, now it's worth $500,000. I didn't lose $500,000. The value of the house is down $500,000, but if I wait it out, then it will eventually get back there.
Boom. So don't panic, people. Don't panic, okay? She didn't lose it. It's just it's down for a little bit and it's going to go back up. And realize how she's saying this so calmly. So don't panic. Being super resilient. This is something that you got to train your mind for, just like sales. So if you're that salesman that gets upset that no one's answering your call, you're probably not going to want to get into sales, because you're probably going to break your phone or break the laptop.
Exactly. Exactly. But my worst investment has been when I started playing this strategy that is basically literally like casino gambling, right? So when a company's about to report earnings, you kind of guess how they're going to do, right? But not just guess, you also have to guess what the sentiment behind the earnings report will be, which is crazy, right? So let's say even if I believe a company's gonna do well based on their results, based on factual things, that's great, but that might not be enough, because if analysts think it was good but not excellent, then the stock might still drop, and it's so unfair because the company did great, they killed it, but if it didn't exceed Wall Street's expectations, the stock will still drop after earnings. So that, I would say, has been my biggest loss, is when I've played casino in the stock market, which is a strategy. It can actually make you tons of money if you get it right, but it's so risky. I so don't recommend it unless you like gambling and you're ready to lose that.
Man, I suck at gambling. I think that's another reason why I'm so intimidated by the stock market. I play I Declare War when I get to the table, and that's it. There's nothing else for me in there. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit more about what your values are, right? Obviously, you have emotional resilience. You're level-headed. You practice stillness. You practice calmness. I met you in person, and when I met you, you're probably the sweetest person. So, you know, soft-spoken, so happy, that same energy, same smile. So what I want to know is, what are your core values? What are those four core values that you carry within your life, your personal life, and with your business? And how has that helped you excel with where you're at currently?
Yeah, so my core values, the number one and the most important to succeed in this industry is patience. You really need to be patient, you know, and it's not me saying that. It's literally the number one person in the stock market, who's Warren Buffett, right? Like, he is where he is because he's so patient. He's seen all the ups and downs, and look at how patience paid off for him. So his strategy is long-term, and he believes in holding stuff for as long as you possibly can, which is obviously different for each person, but that's why he has so much money. So I believe that patience really pays off. So many people have cashed out. The reason why the market drops so much is because people are just panicking, scared, and taking their money out. When you have so many people at the same time taking their money out, there's obviously going to be a drop. So money's being taken out of companies, money's being taken out of investments, of trading accounts, and what a surprise. Here's, you know, we're here. So if you have an investor mentality, if you are really investing for your future and you're not so focused on, oh, the day-to-day, what did I make today or this week or this month, you're more focused on a big picture and you think big, then patience, it's really going to make you a lot of money. Another one is discipline. Okay. Discipline would probably be, it's just as important as patience, because you have to come up with your own strategy that's personalized and your own percentages of how you're going to distribute your money. So for example, I'm going to do 40% in stocks, in shares. I'm going to do 20% in options. I'm going to do another 20% in gold, and then the other cash, whatever the case may be. That's just an example of a portfolio. And you have to make sure you stick to that, okay? And that's very hard. It sounds very easy, but you have to stick. You have to be faithful to your strategy and to the way you diversify things. You can't be, oh, never mind, I changed my mind. Let me, because when you do that, then you have no discipline, then you don't have a plan. And then we're just basically like walking around with eyes closed, not knowing what we're doing. You have to know exactly what you're doing, what percentages, and you have to stick to your own rules. Another core value that I would say is you really have to be present, you know, and that's a word that a lot of people, I guess, maybe are not sure what it means, but it's more than focus and concentration. It's like you really, really have to be present in that moment with what's happening, you know, not just with the markets, but within yourself. A lot of the mistakes we make in the stock market, or people who are more active, like in trading, not just the ones who like buy and hold forever.
Yeah.
A lot of mistakes is based on how we're feeling, and we're not even thinking about what's happening in physical reality. We're in our heads. We're just not here in the moment. Like, what are the facts versus, oh, the rumors, and my head's everywhere and I'm scattered. You really have to be present, which I guess, to make it sound more simple, it's more about being like focused and having that concentration for the actual things that matter. And the last one, that's a hard one. If I have to pick a last one, I would it probably gonna sound overrated, but I think having a positive attitude really helps when everyone is scared and panicking. You really wanna study the history and say, okay, we've been through worse. We've literally been through a terrorist attack where they closed the New York Stock Exchange. You know, recently they've been doing holds. So for like 15 minutes, you can't access, call it a hold. It's crazy. That like never happens. But we've been through way worse. We've been through like a whole week of the stock exchange closed. So if you had options open, you lost 100% of it. Even if your analysis was perfect. We've been through wars. We've been through depressions. We've been through our presidents getting killed. You know, we've been through way worse. So if you put things into perspective, then you can just, you know, be grateful that, okay, we are what we are, but at least we're safe. And at least you know that things eventually, we don't know when, but things eventually are going to go back to normal. And then, you know, everything will be fine.
I love that. I love that. So how would you define success? What is success for you? And how do you define that and live by that?
Yeah. So for me, success, and I said it when I was 11, right? Like, I define success by not having to worry about what like most people worry about. Because in that moment, I realized that how little even my parents knew. You always look up to your parents, so they know what they're doing, especially when you're little. But my dad was always someone I looked up to because he did so well. But then I was like, hold on a second. This is, so my idea of a successful person, someone who has a business and does well, but you didn't know such important basics. So for me, success is really getting to a point in your life where you don't have to worry about what most people worry about. And that I'm obviously talking about money, but also in other areas of your life, right? When you're at a point where you're really thriving and everything is in balance.
I love that. So let's talk about Latino Wall Street before we wrap this up. I wanna know, because I'm sure so many people are like, man, there's so many courses out there. There's so many people that are saying they could coach. There's so many, you know, mentors out there. How can you say that you are set apart from everyone else? What is your unique selling proposition with Latino Wall Street? And why should people, you know, go forward with working with your services? From this conversation in itself, if you weren't sold on wanting to reach out to Gabby or wanting to learn more about her, You got to rerun this back and re-listen to it, because I already have three people that texted me like, man, I got to get in contact with her. Man, I love this right now. Keep going. So what is your unique selling proposition, and what makes you different from all the other guys out there that are saying, hey, I want to help you invest your money?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Number one, and the reason why I've done so well when it comes to education, is that my way of teaching is extremely original, right? What do I mean by original? I make finance fun, which quite frankly, nobody does. I literally bring apples in the tutorials, toys, I dance, I do whatever the hell so people don't take it so seriously, because if we're all scared, intimidated, it's complicated, you're going to show me a chart, I'm going to run away. I know I didn't want to learn finance because it just seems so boring. So I make it fun. I make it funny, full of metaphors, exercises. I even have a kids course where I'm like running up and down the stairs, teaching them how, you know, the ups and downs, it's like a game. So I do whatever so that people can be engaged and into it. I'm passionate about this. Another factual thing that makes me different, my business partner is a hedge fund owner in Manhattan. The hedge fund Never Alone Capital manages hundreds of millions of dollars, and he's in my team, and he's always giving us privileged information. He's trading with crazy advanced softwares. So him being part of it adds so much massive value, because first of all, I have approximately 10 years of experience. He has 20, right? So combined, we have over 30 years of experience in the market. And he's someone that's extremely known in Wall Street, that's always going to meetings with the banks like Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan Chase, has even worked for them in the past. So having someone like this on my side with such, you know, privileged information and knowledge, and he's super active in our chats and our courses and in everything we do, is literally what sets us apart, because there's no other hedge fund owner or hedge fund manager in the educational business, and definitely, I'm 100%, there's not in the Hispanic community.
I love that. So all my Latinos out there that are watching this, there is a community for you, and Gabby is the one for you. How can people learn more about you? Where can they find you? I know that you have a course that's called VIP Traders. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that is, so people can go ahead and, if they're interested, reach out to you and purchase it, or just find out more about it?
Yeah, so VIP Traders is the course I made with Alan. We have grown tremendously since that, so we have a lot of other people in our team who are always helping with the Q&As and whatnot. So they can go on latinowallstreet.com. All the courses, the pre-recorded courses, are in Spanish because we are focused on educating and empowering the Hispanic community. However, if you wanted a one-on-one, if you wanted sessions, I speak English. I have people on my team who also speak English, and we can work with you through the basics from scratch, or it depends on, maybe you're intermediate, maybe you're advanced. So we'll meet you where you are one-on-one. But if you wanted to do the actual course or the group follow-ups, all that stuff, that is in Spanish.
I love it. I love it. And then my last question to you is, one, am I invited to the wedding? No, I'm kidding. So the real question is this. If you could have dinner with any legend, one, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Mm-hmm. This is probably going to sound so random because it has nothing to do with finance, but it's my dream, and I literally signed up for his retreat. I was on a wait list for 2 years to go to his retreat. It's in India. It's nuts. But his name is Eckhart Tolle. He's a big author, Power of Now. What's his second book, A New Earth? He's made a tremendous difference in my life when it comes to presence, focus, concentration, being of contribution, letting go of all that bullshit and just focusing on your purpose. So he's someone that if I could pick like one day, you know, he's made the most difference out of everyone I have followed. And I am so happy that on January, I'll be joining him in India for his private retreat.
Man, and you know what? You said this has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with your calmness, your resilience, your attitude and who you are. And I think that's amazing. So I'm actually going to dive more into Eco Heart because I've had some friends recommend it, and I'm just like, I read his book, The Power of Now. I got into it, but I don't know. I think sometimes you got to be ready to want to be present, right? So I love that you said that. If you're a trader, if you're in this industry, if you want to get involved in this industry, make sure that you go ahead and reach out to Gabby. I appreciate you so, so much for being on here today. It's always good to have another Latin woman in power. So thanks so much, Gabby. And if you can, let's go ahead and take a picture so we could go ahead and let everyone know how badass women do it. All right. One, two, three. Perfect. Thank you so much again. And if you guys aren't, where can they find you? Where can they follow you at on Instagram and on Facebook?
It's at Gabby Wall Street, G-A-B-Y Wall Street. And yeah, I'm there. You can go to latinowallstreet.com. If you speak Spanish, you can go on gabbywallstreet.com. I have tons of articles, tons of free education there too.
Let's go. So if you like what I'm saying, like what I'm doing, like what you're seeing, go ahead and share this video. And if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the Power Talk podcast so you could go ahead and hear this episode all over again. I highly recommend it. So thank you again, Gabby.
Thank you so much, Nani. I'll see you soon.
Boom. That was awesome. Thank you so much. Man, I got so much feedback from this episode. We went live on Facebook and everybody was going crazy. Everybody wanted more Gabby Wall Street, Latino Wall Street. So what I want to do today is I want you to go ahead and tell me what your major takeaway was from this conversation. Go ahead and leave it below in the review section. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you implemented. And let us know, you know, what was your takeaway and how this impacted you. And you know what? Once you do that, most importantly, what I want you to do is push this show out to your network. Push this episode out because you never know who it may impact. You never know who it may resonate with. And you never know whose life it might change. Because just like it impacted you, it can impact somebody else. And most importantly, if you like what I'm saying, like what I'm doing, like what you're seeing, make sure you hit that subscribe button, push it, like it, hit it, whatever the case may be, but make sure you subscribe. I'm super, super excited for these next couple guests that are coming onto the show. And I do want to make an announcement. This podcast episode was sponsored by The Rise Up Project. The Rise Up Project is a two-day women mastermind where we focus on mental and physical mindset training and helping you come up with implementing strategies so you can level up in your business. So thank you and shout out to the people in The Rise Up Project. If you want to learn more, the link is in the show notes. And most importantly, go ahead and follow us on Instagram at Azonani, A-Z-O-N-A-N-I, and In Power Tribe. IN Power Tribe. Love you guys. And like I always say, let's go and let's grow. I'll see you on the next episode.